Good morning and a happy Palm Sunday to everybody. Thank you, Joanne Nuss. She is our pianist today for the opening there and for the music throughout the service. Some announcements that I have to go over. First off, if you go to the church website, so we have the complete bulletin on there this time. You would go to the church website, salemreformedchurch.com, and under the resource tab, then it would show Sunday bulletin, and it will also show sermon outline. So you find both items there at that spot. So, and I want to say thanks to Caden Fisher for helping get our YouTube channel set up, which is Salem Reformed Church Menlo, South Dakota. It's where you find that on YouTube. I want to say thanks to Carmen Taylor for all her help getting a Facebook page set up as well for the church. So we're getting up to speed, I guess, with the 21st century, thanks to this pandemic that we are in. Also, thank you to Teresa Anderson for the palm branches. She made this beautiful display here in front of the pulpit, and there are palm branches for the children. Hopefully, you came by the church and got them before Sunday morning. So let me see. Otherwise, the offering box is out in the narthex, or if you would like to send in your offerings, that would be great. The other announcement I have is regarding this coming Thursday night, which is Maundy Thursday. Always such a moving and meaningful service that we have. However, we will not be able to do that together in this sanctuary. But I am going to, at the end of the service, as we have communion always together, I will do that. So as you're in your own homes watching the service, I'm telling you ahead of time, if you want to have bread, wine, grape juice ready, then you as a family at your home or individual can take communion in your own home while we are having that service and while you're watching it. Okay? So thank you for that. You can look online and read the rest of the announcements in the bulletin. We'll sing number 90 out of the praise book, Hosanna. Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we do give glory and honor to your name. You are the God Most High, our God, our Father. El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. And Lord Jesus, our minds and our hearts go back to that first Palm Sunday, as we call it today, Palm Sunday, when you rode into Jerusalem, and we celebrate that. We know the end of the story. On that day, they didn't even know what was going to happen the very next day. But we can look back and we know the end results and we rejoice in it. Father, we rejoice in your great plan of salvation. And in this coming week that we call Holy Week, Let our hearts and minds be centered and focused on you, Jesus, every moment of every day. Thank you for your presence with us here in this service. For those as they watch this service in their homes, Lord, I pray again that you fill their lives, their hearts, their homes with the glory of your presence by the Spirit of the living God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So our opening hymn, if you'd like to stand where you're at, you can sure do that. Hosanna, loud Hosanna. For helping sing along on the hymns. So our joys and concerns, a couple things that I have today to go over. First, we would appreciate your prayers for Milton Hondel. Milton lives in the care center up in Mitchell, South Dakota, and he is on hospice care and has been declining here over the last week. So be praying for him and for his family. It's a hard time. I'm not able to see him. But that's where we're at right now. Also, we want to pray for our military, certainly the guards, several being activated around our nation, the military and the guards to help with this pandemic, as well our healthcare workers out there on the front lines. I was thinking about the truckers that are driving yet across the nation, also grocery store workers, clerks, cashiers, and all of this. I was told that tomorrow, which when I say tomorrow, I mean Monday, the 6th of April, will be Micah Gehring's birthday and also Amanda Wilcoxon. So happy birthday to them. Also, we have three expecting mothers in the congregation who are due in April. So we want to be praying for them, Mandy Herbolt and Caroline King Peterson is her married name, and Jenna Pressler, that would be Matthew Pressler's wife. They're all due here in April, so let's be remembering them in our prayers as well. For the offering, I'm going to read from Luke chapter 19, verses 38 through 40. And again, I'll just mention the offering box is out in the narthex if you want to stop by some morning. Or P.O. Box 304, of course, is the church address. Luke 19, this is Palm Sunday from Luke's Gospel, part of it. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Jesus said, I tell you the truth, if they keep quiet, even the stones will cry out. And so we sing our praises to our Lord and our Savior. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer here today, so if you'd like to stand again, you can. If you want to stay seated, that's fine. Jesus, we give you all the glory and honor and praise. To thine be the glory for great things you have done and great things you are doing in our midst, and we thank you for it. Father, I'd like to lift Milton Hondel before your throne as he's there in Mitchell in the care center. Lord, I know there's many that would like to see him, but we're not able to right now, but most importantly, we know that you are with him. Thank you for your presence filling and flooding his room. Thank you for the nurses and CNAs and all the workers there at that care center who are able to minister to him your love and your care. Thank you for guarding his heart with your peace that passes all understanding. Heavenly Father, we pray for our military. A lot of National Guards that are being activated in various states to help with the pandemic. Be with them. Keep them safe. Lord, certainly we continue to lift up our healthcare workers, the doctors and nurses and every part of the medical team, those that clean the rooms and on and on. Lord, they need your strength. They need your help, your protection. Watch over them, we pray. Give them wisdom, Father, in Jesus' name. For those companies that are changing course to help make more ventilators and face masks and gowns and all the necessary things and equipment to fight this battle, thank you for them joining in, Lord, in ways that they can. We pray, Lord, for those that the grocery store workers and clerks and cashiers and the truck drivers bringing necessary supplies across this land. We lift them up also, Father. Thank you for your divine intervention in the midst of this crisis. Thank you for your healing hand and power that is greater than all. Lord, in the midst of this, we pray for our nation. Let our eyes be opened, Father, to the truth of your word. Let our attention be turned to you, Lord God, the living God, the one true God, as we ask for help in the midst of this, as we ask for revival to come across this land. You are greater than all, and we know that. Father, for those names I mentioned of the three young mothers who are with child in our congregation, in a difficult time, but we pray for when their time of delivery comes, Lord, that all would go well, and we will look forward to meeting those little ones when the right time comes. Thank you, Father, for birthdays mentioned and those that I'm sure were not mentioned as you watch over them. Be with our people in the care centers as well, Father. As they're not able even to go out of their rooms right now, we ask for your grace to all as we make adjustments in every area of our lives. Be with the parents as they're doing homeschooling in a large part and trying to work at the same time. Father, be with those that are calving and we're coming into this planting season. Lord, help things to work out, we pray, Father, that the farmers could get into the field. And on we could go, the highway workers and those in the factories, you know, all of our different positions, Lord. We lift up this nation and thank you for a mighty, mighty work that you are doing in our midst. And as we give, as we send our offerings in, as we drop them by, however it works, Lord, we thank you that you are the faithful one, our source and our provider. Even in the midst of difficult times, you are faithful. So we bring these offerings to you and thank you for multiplying them in Jesus' name. Lord, we confess our faith now together through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If the children want to, well, you can't come, but we will have the Kingdom Kids time now with Anne. Thank you.
Yeah, what's this?
Well, good morning, boys and girls. It's good to see you today, virtually. There are no children here today, and I just want to tell you that we miss you so much. It has been, this is our third Sunday that we are recording so that we can, you can see us on your, you know, internet, whether you watch us on your computer, your laptop, whatever it is, we are glad that you are there, and we just miss you so much. I just can't tell you how much. So this week, though, we're going to put aside Edward Orange, and our armor teaching, just so we can focus these next 2 weeks on these special, or this next week on this, these special events. And today, we are celebrating, that's right, Palm Sunday. You know, even though a lot of life's events have been canceled and they've been postponed, I read this on Facebook, Easter is not. And that's an exciting thing to remember, that no matter what's going on in the world that we are living in right now, we can focus on God and Jesus and find our peace there. So I hope that you all picked up your palm branches from our church this week and your papers, because, drum roll please. Okay, I want everybody to stand up. Come on, you stand up. I want you boys and girls to get your palm branches, wave your arms. We are gonna praise the Lord. Joanne, can you help us? Okay, we're going to sing the song, Praise Him. And wave your arm branches in your arms and just praise the Lord.
Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him.
Pastor Mike for helping us with that. Okay. Well, do you know that what we just did, and what you usually do if you were here on all the Palm Sundays, is you would have come up the aisle and waved your palm branches and then laid them on the altar as we remember what Jesus did. And we find that, boys and girls, in the Bible. Like we always tell you, we always look in the Bible to find out. And over 2,000 years ago, the disciples and followers of Jesus did just what we did. Let's read it. Chapter 21, verse 6, starting. The disciples did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" So that is just, that's what they did. And you know, that was over 2,000 years ago, right? So why do you think that they did that? Why did they praise Jesus? Some questions, some answers? Yes, because of all the neat and cool things that Jesus had done, that they had seen him do, or they had heard about him doing them. Yes, right? Miracles, the miracles Jesus did. So what were some of the miracles that he did? Yeah, wait, in their back? He fed a whole bunch of people, right? More than on two occasions, multiplied the food. Yeah, over there? Yes, he healed the crippled. He healed the crippled. He healed a blind man. He healed people that had leprosy. He even raised Lazarus from the dead. All of these things. He forgave people's sins. He showed them God's love. All of these things, right? He showed them that God wanted a relationship with them. So that was then. This is now. Here's my question to us now. What has God done for you that you should praise him? Or why should you praise him? Let me have some answers. Yes, because salvation, that's the number one answer we usually always get. We are so thankful to God that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. Yep, so we could go to heaven, that's right. You know what, there will not be any COVID-19 in heaven. Praise the Lord, right? We will all be together. Any more? Yep, the Holy Spirit. You know, God gave us, when Jesus left them, we got the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. He's our comforter. If you're having some sad and lonely times because you can't see your friends and you can't see your teachers, you can't see your grandparents, or you know what? God is with us. Jesus is with us through the Holy Spirit. You stop and take a minute and talk to him. Tell him everything, and you will be comforted. You have any questions? It says he's our counselor. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what we should do. Ask him. How about your helper? The Holy Spirit is also our helper. And I know some of us, we all need help with this homeschooling and our homework. Ask him. He is there ready for us. How many? Yep, families. We're so thankful for the families God's given us, for the jobs that we have, the homes we live in, right? All of these things, we have reason to praise the Lord. And especially now, as we've all been told, our lives have stopped in certain ways, they've slowed down, we have more time, we can praise the Lord, right? Yes, we can do it as a family, we can do it individually, we can do it at church. So my challenge this week for you is to think about all the things, all the reasons why you yourself can praise God, and you do praise God, and are thankful for. Write down those things and praise God for them. Then I want you to tell me about it. You can have your parents text me, send us an email at church. You can give us a phone call. I'd like to know what you are praising God for. And you can also send in after we'll pray in a second, but we got a couple more pictures sent in, and we are so grateful for that. It just helps us to remember you, and you can still do that. So let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you so much for being with us, for not leaving us ever. Help the boys and girls to know that. that you are with them, that this is a time of stretching for all of us to be more patient with each other and to draw closer to you, to have more time with you. Thank you today that as they celebrate Palm Sunday and all of the excitement about it, that they just have a wonderful time with their family. Help us all to remember to be thankful to you every single day. Bless them wherever they are this week, God. Help them be the light that shines for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now before I go, can I read a joke? Okay, we did get a joke sent in, so let me read this. All right, here we go. Why didn't Noah go fishing often? No answers back there? Why didn't Noah go fishing often, a lot? Because he only had two worms. You get it? There's only two worms on the boat. Got it.
We get it. We get it. Thank you, dear. On that note, before we sing again, I have to tell you, someone stopped by the office yesterday morning, a young mother from the church, and she said, Pastor Mike, I just have to tell you about the dream I had last night. You had put out the word on prayer chain or whatever, I suppose. You put out the word that if we brought $5 on Sunday, we could come to church. And so my family, we came, and we were early and sitting up front, and we were spread out 6 feet apart, and I was so excited to be here. And then I turned around and looked back, and the whole church was packed. I said, we long for that day, don't we? And it will happen. So 505, he touched me. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this time to gather here. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have touched each of our lives, that you have set us free. You have broken those chains that have bound us, that in Christ we are a new creation, that in Christ you have made us to be your righteousness, that in Christ we are your workmanship, that in Christ we are more than conquerors, and on we could go. And I thank you, Father, for your touch. There are many who need your touch, a healing touch to their physical bodies. Lord, there's many who need your touch emotionally to just lift them out of feelings of despair and discouragement, maybe even depression. Lord, it is difficult for us not to be able to gather as a congregation. That's the highlight of our weeks. and we're not able to do it as usual. So, Lord, I pray that as we're listening and worshiping at home, that you touch each of our hearts and lives. Some need a touch spiritually, just to know that you never leave us, you never forsake us. And so we can say with confidence, whom shall I fear? For the Lord is my helper. And so I thank you for that touch, and I thank you for the words as we sang, oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. Something did happen within, and now we know, Jesus, that you are the one who has touched us, and you have made us whole. So I thank you, Lord, as we look into your word now, that again you speak to our hearts by your Spirit, by your word, and I ask, Father, that you would also speak through me by your Spirit, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been in Mark's gospel most of the time through this Lenten season, not all of it, but so the Palm Sunday is what concludes the 40 days of the Lenten season. We come to Palm Sunday and then we enter into what we call Holy Week, and we think of all the events. And so as we during the Lenten season, we've been in Mark's gospel chapter 11, looking through the events that happened after today, after Palm Sunday. We worked through Monday, right? We saw him cursing the fig tree as he was going to Jerusalem, and then he cleansed and cleared the temple. That was on Monday. On Tuesday, he went back in. He gave the disciples that lesson on prayer. The Pharisees questioned and challenged his authority. That's what we looked at last Sunday. And then it goes on. He taught in the temple on that day. Wednesday would have been a day of rest. Thursday is Passover, which we will be back together for church in our homes on Passover. So I'm going to back to Mark chapter 11, verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Amen. So Palm Sunday, it's a glorious day, an exciting day, an exciting celebration. All four Gospels tell about it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to be mostly in Mark's Gospel as we have been. The people, I probably say this every year, but just so we know it, the people, they thought he was coming in to proclaim himself as king, to overthrow the Romans, set up his kingdom on the earth. But it wasn't time for that. It was not time. And so we're going to focus mostly this morning on verse 3, where Jesus said, "If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" So, back up to verse 1, they're approaching Jerusalem. Okay, so where had they been? They had been down in the valley, you could say. They had been at Jericho. If we'd look at the end of the 10th chapter of Mark, we find they come to Jericho and they encounter a man named Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, and Jesus heals him. And so they're moving along this valley. It's very desert area there. The Jordan River would be further away to the west of them. They're going along, though, the Jordan River and coming down, you know, further down south would be the Dead Sea, but Jericho, and then you start your ascent up to Jerusalem. It's still a ways. But so as it says, as they approached Jerusalem, so you have to come up the Mount of Olives first. They came to Bethphage and Bethany, just two little villages on the Mount of Olives there. And Jesus says to them, so go to the village ahead, and you're going to find this colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Bring it here. So that's how Jesus operated, isn't it? Go and do this. Sometimes he told them ahead. This time, there would not have been much warning at all, really. Okay, Lord, we'll do it. Whatever you say, right? So they go by faith there. Find this, the colt of a donkey, which no one has ever ridden. Wow. And bring it to me. That colt of the donkey was born for that purpose. You think about it. That little donkey was set aside for that purpose, to carry Jerusalem in, to carry Jesus, into Jerusalem on that day. Would it be interesting to know what happened to that little colt of a donkey as it grew up and lived its life? I always think that was a blessed, blessed little donkey there, set aside for that purpose. So, and on, you know, some years we've focused more on the prophecy of Zechariah, which was 500 years before this day ever happened. God spoke through the prophet Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9, that this event would happen. And Jesus is just acting it all out because he knew the scriptures. He is the very living word of God. So if anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say to him, the Lord needs it. Today we think of a donkey or a mule as not very much, really. They're not the prized possession among the horses and so on like that. I think back in my younger years growing up, what they used to have these companies, I suppose you'd call it, go around and they'd play donkey baseball or donkey basketball in the gym. It was quite a sight, wasn't it, those donkeys? But in that day, in the time of Christ, and certainly before, they were very valuable. The kings, the rulers, could afford to have horses. And we could find many verses in the Old Testament, like 1 Kings. I'll just give a couple. 1 Kings chapter 1, there's an example when David puts his son Solomon on his own mule, David's own mule, when he's going to anoint him as the next king of Israel. There's a time in Judges when the judge, Jair of Gilead, he had 30 sons, the scripture tells us, who rode 30 donkeys. He had to have a lot of donkeys, didn't he, for all those boys? And so on it goes. I think of today, like the country of Haiti, when we were there just the 1st of February. A donkey would be quite valuable in the country of Haiti, where they have little of nothing. So here it goes. Chapter 3, again. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. So they went and found a colt outside in the street tied at the doorway. And it was just as Jesus said. They told the people that the Lord needs it. And so they let him go. They could have said no. No, think about that. No, I don't even know you guys. No, I had plans for this donkey today. I was going to haul my bananas to market or whatever it might be. No, why do you have to ask me for my donkey? Look at the donkeys down the street in the village here. But they didn't, did they? They said, go ahead, because the Lord needs it. Sometimes as we think about this, we all have to watch our attitudes. We can sort of get that way if we're not careful. Why me? Why always ask me? Yeah? So I'm just getting to your outline now in case you're wondering if you had that printed off. There's a very important lesson to learn here when we look at this. An important lesson to learn. God's needs equals priority. Priority. What God needs from us, through us, should be top priority in our lives, shouldn't they? That when those two disciples came and for that donkey there and said, the Lord needs it, go ahead. If Jesus needs it, it's all yours. It's all yours. And that should be our attitude with these, with the talents and gifts that he's put within us. He's done that for a reason, not just for us to be selfish. He's blessed us with so many talents in our lives, gifts, blessings beyond measure. And so we have to keep that in mind. It is for a reason. Maybe you can just think of examples in this time, this pandemic that we're in right now. All the more. That's why I chose this route, that the Lord needs you. That's the title of the sermon here today. The Lord needs you. He needs all of us as the body of Christ to be sensitive to the needs of those around us, right? We have to use our feet. This month, right now, April happens to be our church's turn to deliver the Meals on Wheels in our community. Those are blessings. There's usually 10 to 12-ish people who rely on that for their meal every day, Monday through Friday. We can use our hands. I've heard several examples just this past week from within the congregation, and it makes me very happy. Someone made some homemade chicken noodle soup, took it to a couple that are just not able to leave their house at all because of compromised health situations. They were so blessed. Another couple, not even in Menno, but part of our church, someone else made a couple meals, called them, said, hey, can I drop off a couple meals for you? Again, this couple, they're not able to leave their house because of this pandemic. And that's where our hearts, our minds, we need to think about this. Some that can't go out, that maybe don't have family right around, call them, hey, can I get you some groceries, something I can do for you, a way that I can help? Maybe they just need a visit on the phone because they're not able to go out and have that socializing that we're so used to. The Lord needs you, your time, your strength, your talents, your hearts, your lives. We always have to guard because human nature, that fallen human nature that we still struggle against, always wants to say no, or I don't have time, or I don't want to, I'm just going to take care of myself, so leave me alone, or whatever it might be. Kids, probably lots of chores that could be done when you're at home. I know you got homework going on, but don't be grumpy when mom and dad ask you to do some extra things around the house. Okay, I'm sure everybody's grinning in their living rooms right now. But secondly, what about this? As I was thinking about this donkey, the colt of the donkey, tell him, if someone asks you, what are you doing, tell them the Lord needs it. From this day, Palm Sunday, to the cross, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, those 6 days, I just sort of went through the scriptures. I'm not saying I got them all, but I came up very quickly with at least 8 different examples in those days of needs that Jesus had from people that were living at that time. So here they go. The first one, letter A, what we just talked about. See, Jesus needed two of his disciples to go into Bethphage to get that donkey and her colt and bring it back for Jesus to ride into Jerusalem on. He needed that to happen on that day to fulfill prophecy. It's from up the top of the Mount of Olives, and you're looking, I always have to think this out, west to Jerusalem. It's just a couple miles. You ride down the Mount of Olives. We walked it 5 years ago. It was so cool. Through the Garden of Gethsemane, well, through the Olive Gardens, I'll say it that way. Down, you come down the valley, there's the Jewish graveyard, you go through that, you come down to the bottom, the Kidron Valley, and then you come up and the temple, the wall of the old city is still there, the Eastern Gate, right there, and you come up and there's, the Muslims have a cemetery against that wall where the Eastern Gate is. That's a whole nother deal. And why did they put a cemetery there? And they blocked up, they cemented shut the Eastern Gate because they know the prophecy that when Jesus returns, he's coming through that gate. And blocking it up isn't going to stop him, is it? No. So he needed that to happen. Secondly, letter B, every night, Jesus and his disciples, they needed a place to stay. In Bethany, that's where they went. Every night, six nights, would have been Friday when they arrived through Wednesday. They needed that place, the house of, like I've said other times, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. He needed that. See, he needed Peter and John to go into Jerusalem. Now we're coming up to Thursday on Passover Day. He needed Peter and John to go into Jerusalem, find that upper room, and make preparations for the Passover. Mark 14:13 is where it tells us this. So he sent two of his disciples. Luke's gospel tells us it was Peter and John, telling him, go into the city, you're going to find a man carrying a jar of water, and he's going to come up to you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house that he enters, the teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he'll show you a large upper room furnished and ready. How about letter D? Jesus needed the owner of the Garden of Gethsemane to provide that place for retreat for himself and his disciples. And they went there often during the times when Jesus was in Jerusalem over those 3.5 years. The Bible says they went there often for a place of prayer. So he needed that man who, as a friend, to say, Jesus, whenever you want it, it's yours. It's yours. Just go there whenever you want it. He needed to be there that night so he could be arrested by the Romans. Letter E. You know what? He needed the women, that's that blank, the women from Galilee to care for his needs during the years of his ministry. And you know what? Those women were at the cross. Matthew 27:55 says, many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. And among them were Mary Magdalene, and then it goes on. He needed them. Letter F, Jesus needed Simon, the Cyrene. He was the man just passing by, coming in from the country, the Bible says, with his two sons. And the Romans grabbed him and said, you come and carry his cross. He needed that man to do that. Jesus did. That's the song. Sometimes Jay sings that on Monday, Thursday. Watch the Lamb. It's based on that right there. And we're even told in Matthew's gospel, Simon's, the name of his two boys, Alexander and Rufus. And do you know, and I have the verse in there, I think, for you, in Romans 16, it even mentions Rufus as being a part of the Church of Rome. That's just pretty cool, I think, that all falls into place that way. Letter G. Jesus needed John, the beloved apostle John, to care for his mother Mary. This comes to Friday when he's hanging on the cross. In the last statement, seven statements he made hanging there. And John chapter 19, it says when Jesus, picture this, he's hanging there on that cross. When he saw his mother there and he saw the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "John, here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. He needed John to be there. Last one, he needed Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus to come and ask Pilate for his body, to take his body off the cross and then provide the tomb where he would be laid. All of that was essential to every event that was taking place. Sometimes we think, oh, what we do isn't important. It is very, very important. The Lord needs you, and we need each other as the body of Christ. I tell you, I've been so blessed just many times over the years of Billy Graham Ministries. Franklin Graham now, as he stepped in to lead that and what he does. But if you watch, I know I've seen it on Kelloland different times when I've been watching the news. There's Franklin Graham. They have bought commercial time. He's right on there sharing the gospel. It's so awesome. And the one commercial, he even leads in a prayer of salvation. Prime time. That just blesses me incredibly. We support his ministry, and I think that's also huge as we pray for a great awakening to happen in the midst of this terrible tragedy of this pandemic. I pray that people's hearts are more sensitive, calling out to God for help. And that's such just neat, so very neat. So the body of Christ, I want to finish this up here. Today, again, on the earth, we need to be the body of Christ. The casting crowns, thought about playing the song, but I know I'll run out of time. But I'll just read, we are the body. You hear it on the radio if you listen to 96.5. The verse says, if we are the body, meaning the body of Christ, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? If we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing there is a way? ? And then it says, there is a way! ! We are the body of Christ on the earth today, and we've got to shine to be the life-saving station that he wants us to be in this time of need. We got to recognize what God is doing in our midst. When we started the Lenten season, Ash Wednesday in February, that was such a beautiful service that night. We had the high school students with us helping out. Who would have guessed that Ash Wednesday we'd be where we are with not even be able to meet? It's difficult, very difficult, but on that night, I read a part of the passage of Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, on Palm Sunday. And I want to just go back to that quickly in closing out here. This Luke 19:41 says, as Jesus approached Jerusalem, and this is when he's on the donkey, he saw the city and wept. And we talked about this on that night more. He wept over it. And verse 44 of Luke 19 tells us why he wept over it. Because they, Jerusalem, the Jewish people by and large, did not recognize the time of God's coming. That's why he wept. And so, as God looks over America, we have been blessed beyond measure, incredibly beyond any country in the world, really, in this generation and time in which we live. And as blessed as we are and as great as this country is, the sin as well is very great. And I think at times God weeps over these sins, the sin of abortion. 60 million, the statistics say, 60 million babies aborted. That just is hard to comprehend. And so we need to pray. One man, Perry Stone, the man that we went to Israel with 5 years ago, someone forwarded us a message from him here just this last week. And he tells about the other day God woke him up in the middle of the night, speaking to his heart. And he said the words he gave to him was this regarding this pandemic. This is a day of reckoning. Not just for America, but for the world. It's affecting the world. It's a day of reckoning. What does that mean? In other words, settling of accounts. We need to get our hearts right, our lives right. We need to be praying. I know we are praying for our nation earnestly, again, that revival would come as a result of this. Getting our lives in order. As John 14:6 says, we know it well. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you're watching this, if you're not a part of our congregation, we're happy that you're with us. But my big question to all that would be watching is, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? That's number one. If not, then get that right. If you don't know how, then find a minister wherever you're at to lead you in that prayer and in that way. So we continue to pray for this great nation, asking God's blessing upon it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. I pray, Lord, that this pandemic, that these restrictions of no more than 10 people, I pray that this could end soon. Lord, it's difficult for all of us in every way. Difficult not to gather in this sanctuary as brothers and sisters in Christ that we love so much to do. Forgive us, Lord, for being slack in this before, for taking it for granted and thinking, oh, I'll just sleep in, or, well, I don't want to go today. I pray, Father, that that changes. In Jesus' name, that we are shaken and awakened for you. Thank you for this congregation. You know each of our names. You know our lives inside and out. And I ask you to bless every family and home and individual that is a part of this church and far beyond. In Jesus' name, and I pray your blessing upon this nation that we call our home. Thank you, Father. Amen. And so last Sunday, we closed with God Bless America. And as I was just talking with Joanne this week, and we're going to close with America the Beautiful today. We are blessed incredibly where we live, and we know that. And so let's keep those prayers going. If you want to stand together, we'll sing this, America the Beautiful. especially love that third verse, all of them, but talking about our veterans and soldiers who more than self their country loved and mercy more than life. And we do thank you, Lord, for our soldiers that serve so faithfully. Bless them and keep them safe. In Jesus' name, please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Remember Thursday, that service will be pre-recorded. It'll be available for you to watch. If you would like to take communion, you can have those elements ready at home and we'll pray over them that way. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, Joanne. Sound crew, singers, thank you. God bless you all.